If you don't like capitalism and you don't like state socialism, what do you want?
And there is a great deal of new construction of new institutions, new forms, new cooperatives, new worker-owned companies that's happening all over the country.
This is the Gar Alperovitz Podcast, a regular look at the ideas of historian and political economist Gar Alperovitz as he explores strategies to democratize wealth and empower workers and communities.
The following segment is an excerpt and preview of a conversation that took place between Gar Alperovitz and Peter Buffett, composer, chairman of the Novo Foundation, and son of investor Warren Buffett. Peter's op-ed last year in the New York Times on the charitable industrial complex, retweeted over 8,000 times and liked and shared by over 100,000 people on Facebook, was not only a stunning and unexpected indictment of the philanthropic status quo, but a bold call to imagine a new economy. This latter aspect, Peter's demand for, as he put it, concepts that shatter current structures and systems that have turned much of the world into one vast market, led to the conversation you are about to hear a small part of, when Gar and Peter sat down at the close of 2013 for a discussion of systemic crisis and the possibility of hope. Stay tuned for the full conversation.
So, I mean, you know, there are lots of places to start, but... if you have something you want to start with, I'm happy.
No.
Okay.
I just, with the whole time I've been thinking, I'm going to probably want to ask you more questions than you asked me.
Well, I wanted to make it a dialogue. I'm not kind of a reporter, but I have lots of questions.
Yeah.
But, I do want to start with, the obvious question, because the piece you did in the New York Times, right?
Right.
And in the reaction that you, how are you doing?
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, it's been fantastic. The utter surprise that it mattered that much, what I had to say, and that it mattered that much that I said it, right? So both of those things, I got a lot of response, and thank God somebody said it, and oh my God, thank God you said it. Mm-hmm. And so that was fascinating to feel what it feels like to speak a truth that just feels true to you, and it's a feeling. That's the other really important point, I think, is that I came back from this event that sort of made me go, okay, I gotta do something, I gotta say something. And I wrote a song. So it started with a feeling, trying to translate that into music, and then when the music was done, I was very happy with the song, but I thought, there's more. I need to say more. And so then I wrote the op-ed thinking, it'll just be a blog. And then when I finished it, I thought, well, maybe somebody might be interested in this. I'll take it further. And so when the New York Times said yes, I was certainly flattered and excited about it, but still had no, it's like writing a hit song. You're just writing the song. You don't know that it's going to resonate the way it does. Mm-hmm. In fact, I say to my musician friends here, I've been spending my whole life trying to write a hit song, and it ended up being an op-ed in the New York Times.
Well, it's really interesting because the I thought you were going to answer, but I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad you started. Well, I got an avalanche of attack. That's the part I saw. But the first point, which is the recognition in other eyes that actually one has a voice.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to a lot of people. People don't know they have a voice.
Right, exactly. And the idea that somebody's, because we really feel like that at the foundation, is one of the key components for us is to either give people the agency to have a voice, or if they don't feel like their voice is valid for some reason, to have other voices speak for them to show them that it is. But one way or another, to create this awareness around your own agency and own voice, and that it matters.
I tell you, my story is totally, it isn't by the by, it's a sort of experience I had. I wrote a PhD thesis, which was turned out to be about the decision to use the atomic bomb. I hadn't started there.
Oh, wow.
I started with the development of American economic imperialism in 1944, 45, planning for the post-war era. And I ran into the fact that people, when the atomic bomb became available, saw it as a way to keep the Russians in the corner and enforce their position.
Right.
So this is the Cambridge, and it was Simon Schuster decided to publish it. I was 26, And Oh, isn't that nice? All of a sudden, I had the experience you had.
Right.
It was front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post, but attacked, of course.
Of course. Like, you just totally, right, yeah, that's not.
I said, whoa.
Right.
This is a different world out there. I've been.
I don't particularly subscribe to this idea that there are people out there with their fingers on all the triggers and buttons and pulleys and levers of, you know, sort of a conspiracy side of things, as much as a system that at this point is running.
It's much deeper than conspiracy.
Yeah, right. I mean, a lot of the thing I love is that nobody's that smart, you know, or nobody's that together. No politician has it all figured out. You can't possibly, I think, go down that very far. Not to say that there weren't bad actors when the engine was starting, whether it's in the, you know, Industrial Revolution at the beginnings of that or the beginnings of other things that kind of get the car going off in this direction. Right. But then at that point, it's going.
No, what really is interesting about the, you know, from the inside, and I worked in the House and Senate and did that, mm-hmm. at one point, and even Harry Truman, who made this decision,
right.
believed, and it's really, I thought it was really important to do this and understand, as a human being, mm-hmm. he actually believed he was doing good.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was not.
Yeah.
If you see him as an evil person conspiring, you miss the whole point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
George Bush, I mean, they're doing God's work.
That's
these are people, and that's where God gets into a lot of trouble. But these are, you know, essentially well-meaning people
in terms of
what's running their frame. That's the hardest part, I think, about this is that, you know, that's the kind of the matrix thinking in terms of we're inside the system and people absolutely not only believe it's real, need to believe it's real. And
But one of the things I've discovered, and I'd be curious how, just in terms of the reports you got, the positives is
positive.
You know, I've been speaking around the country mainly because of this book, and mm-hmm. people, it is not very deep that most people understand there's a systemic problem.
Right.
That it's not just politics or who you elect.
Right.
I mean,
right.
these 30-year trends in virtually every area Democrats elect, but the powerful, it's not a secret. It's like...
You're saying you're getting most people that get that it's systemic.
They get it. They know it. I mean, the media is all about the Tea Party and Barack Obama made the right move yesterday and stuff.
Yep.
But, I mean, they voice it in different ways. Some mm-hmm. people talk about the big corporations or the mm-hmm. system, but there is a... Speaking that it is a systemic problem, whatever that means, speaks to something people know.
Right.
Or lots of people.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I think you're right. Yeah, exactly. And that's what was interesting, again, about the response to the op-ed, is these were not just philanthropic people mm-hmm. in the NGOs or whatever saying, you go, this is so great. These were people that just got that I was talking about a systemic deal, you know, that this was a part of.
That's the challenge.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, you put that in the center, I mean, that's...
Right.
That we both come from that place. That is the issue, then. What is it that, you know, here's the book to write is, if you don't like capitalism, you don't like socialism, what do you want, and how do we get there?
Thanks for listening to the Gar Alperovitz podcast. To find articles, interviews, audio, video, and more, go to www.americabeyondcapitalism.com.